You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, good morning, church. Great to be with everybody. Westside's have a lot of great things going on. It's been a complex week, eventful week for America, a lot of things happening. On our campuses, I was talking to one of our campus girls, and she was, you know, seeing all the complex conflict going on and different things in our society and in our world. Last weekend, I had the privilege of going to a men's retreat up in the mountains in Wrightwood and speaking there with my son Kyle. We got to talk about, you know, spiritual manhood. While I was up there, I got a chance to hang out with Al Baird, who used to be an elder here, you know, for a long time. And, you know, we talked to, you know, his wife Gloria has passed. It's been 6 years since she passed away. And while I was up there, I realized, you know, there were guys that were age 14 all the way to age 84 at the men's retreat. And what I recognize is that people are going through a lot of challenges in life, right? Not only society in general, but we go through challenges. Life provides many difficult circumstances that are sometimes hard to understand. One brother at the retreat, I was talking to him. His wife had passed away last year when they were on their family vacation. She was scuba diving and passed away of a heart attack. It was tough, like, and just so many issues talking to different people about how they're going through this journey. But, you know, they're faithful men. They're fighting for God's ways. And all of us have to face opposition and difficulty and sometimes unfair treatment, right? Circumstances don't go the way that we would want in life all the time. I don't know if you've ever thought about the answer to these challenges, but today's lesson is entitled The Answer to Life's Challenges. And you ever remember this picture from Beijing? This is in 1989. And this was when there were protests in Beijing. You had a situation there where the students were standing up against the government in Beijing, and this one guy stands out in front of the tanks. Now, my father remarried later in life, and his wife is Chinese, so my mother-in-law is Chinese, and I called her and asked her, what was that like for you while you were there? And she said, you know, I actually was a student, not in Beijing, but in a different city, and it was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking to hear many died at that time. But then she also said, but you know what? A lot of people in my family, a lot of my relatives were mad at me for being upset because we really liked our life and we liked what the government was doing. Others hated it, others liked it. And it got me thinking about how oftentimes there's conflicts in our world that just simply don't have good solutions, right? They don't have good solutions. We've got political issues in our world today that I don't think there's a man-made solution that's going to work. Jesus said in John 16, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, the value systems of our society lead to great conflict and war. And some circumstances, if you read the history of it, you go, wow, how is this going to get solved? And I don't think it can be in today's society the way that would bring peace and resolution the way we'd like. But there is a solution when you step out of our world's values and you enter into a different type of kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus said he would bring, right? He said, my kingdom is not of this world, right? In his kingdom, things get inverted, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. The last shall be first. When you lose your life, you save your life. When you fall, you rise. And Jesus himself was very familiar with conflict. You know, last week CJ preached about the healing of the invalid who'd been by that little pool for 38 years trying to get well. He'd been in that condition. And after he was healed, unfortunately, the religious leaders of that time began to persecute him. They were mad at him. It says right here in John 5, verse 16, it says, they started making a lot of trouble for Jesus because he did things like this on the Sabbath. But Jesus said, my Father has never stopped working, and that is why I keep on working. See, he knew that the Sabbath was made for us to have a little break in life, which is needed, to have a pace, to slow down a little bit. It's healthy for us. But he said, God is always working, and he knew that he was the incarnation of God, and so he's going to be working, and so healing is okay on the Sabbath. But those that were really leading the people in a spiritual way, they couldn't conceive of that. They knew God should work, but of course they didn't think Jesus was God. Of course, he said he was, and they even accused him of that. Look in verse 18. It says, now the leaders wanted to kill Jesus for two reasons. First, he'd broken the law of the Sabbath. But even worse, he had said that God was his father, which made him equal with God. Right? They were mad at him because it didn't fit their worldview of what it meant to be right and follow God the way they thought. And it says right there, they wanted to kill him. So I don't know how many of you have opposition in life. We all face it. But I can't think of very many times anyone's wanted to kill me. Maybe Carrie occasionally. I'm a little messy around the house, but I don't think in truth she really wants to, right? Not really. We get mad at times, but it says they wanted to kill Jesus. He knew what opposition was all about, and he had the answer. Now, we're going to take communion at the end of today's lesson. We know at the communion, we reflect on Jesus going to the cross, and while he was there and he was being accused, he remained silent at the cross. He didn't defend himself because when he died for mankind's sin, we couldn't defend ourselves, right? We have sinned. We needed somebody to take the price, to pay the price. So he doesn't defend himself at the cross. However, earlier in his ministry here in John 5, he actually does answer. And he tells them, well, let me tell you what I'm up to. And he does actually have an answer for these challenges. And since our theme this year is focus on Jesus, I thought we should look at that answer and use that to motivate us and inspire us a little how to handle the many challenges you will inevitably face, both today and on into the rest of your life. So let's look. Here we find in verse 19, it says, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. So my first point is simply this. How could he handle these challenges? Well, he knows who he's with, right? Right there he says, truly, I tell you, I don't do anything on my own, right? I only do what I see my Father doing. I'm with him. I do whatever he tells me. I follow him. He loves me. I love him. And he's going to even show me more things to do. You're going to see. I'm with him all the time. His relationship with God got him through the difficulty. He knows who he's with. And when we face challenges in our life, we absolutely need to understand that we are not alone if we're going to make it through. See, he's secure. He's not doing things independently all on his own. He's connected to his Father, to a spiritual connection. And we also know that as he builds his ministry, he's connected. He says that he unveils all things to the men that he had let into his life. He wasn't alone when the challenges came. You know, we have unfair things happen in our life, but you don't want to go through those things alone. We really need to understand that we get to be with somebody who has the answers, and that's the Spirit of God. And Jesus knew he was with them, right? So how does our mindset change? And how do we handle difficulties if we know we're with the Father? What has to happen? We begin to rely on him for our thinking. We don't want to come up with our own thinking about all kinds of things because it leads us down the wrong path. Yeah. Now, there is a way that does seem right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. But there is a way that is right in the eyes of God that leads to eternal life. And God wants us to be with him. And one of the things we have to do is we have to begin to think the right way. How are we going to solve these problems? You got to think the way God wants you to think. I love this verse in Colossians. In verse 1, I don't have that up there. It says, set your hearts on things above. But in verse 2, it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For us to be with God, our mind has to stop thinking the way our society thinks. We've got to lift our thoughts up, right? We've got to fill our minds and our thoughts with spiritual things, which does come from the spiritual disciplines. So I love that we've made an emphasis on this as a church, right? Our prayer life. I know we're doing prayer devotionals, right? Fasting, meditation, studying the Word of God, spending time in solitude, practicing Sabbath. These things really enable us to have the mind of God to deal with the challenges we will inevitably face. And what's amazing is when you have the mind of God, you get unified with others that have the mind of God. You're with them. What's amazing is we're not alone, even in the Westside Church. There's many with the mind of God trying to do his work. Just a little advertisement for our prayer devo that's coming up June 8th. Thank you, Joe Alonzo from Lebanon. He's coordinating this. He's from there. He's became a disciple there. We support churches in the Middle East. And we are going to have a prayer devotional that you're all invited to, where you can be with, in mind, in spirit, brothers and sisters from the other side of the world. And of course, with the magic of technology, right, we get to live, in person, but not really on the screen, be with people through prayer and connection so that we are not alone. Do you know who you're with? You know, as you think about who you're with, it's important to understand that when you're with God and you're obedient to God, it brings joy. Now, obedience to God does not make you righteous. You might think, oh, I gotta do everything he says to be righteous. No. All of us should want to be obedient to God because it brings joy, not righteousness. Now, the truth of the matter is, you know, if you change your life right now and start doing everything right, and I have a really long list of sins I've done throughout my life, and if I stopped doing all of them, that list would still be there. So I'm not going to be righteous because I'm simply obedient now. That comes from the mercies of God, the gift of God, the forgiveness of God. It comes from his grace that you are made righteous. But joy does come from obedience. We all know this. If you set a plan to, maybe you need to gain weight or lose weight, or you need to balance your budget better or save money for a plan. When you start making progress on tangible things, you get a little pep in your step, right? You know, you start having a little more joy when you start following through with the things you know you need to do, right? We see that all the time. When we become obedient, we get happy. It's a natural principle that God created. It doesn't make you better than other people, right? Not at all. You shouldn't think that way. You got to keep going down. You know, the message of the cross is servanthood. Go low to be lifted up. But obedience does bring joy. Now, you see it in people's eyes, right? You see all the new brothers and sisters that have been getting baptized lately, right? And they're just beaming with joy. When they come up out of the water, they're beaming with joy. There's a great brother who's not here right now, but he's always filled with joy. That's our brother Doug Bundy. Doug, I know you're probably watching. So let me read something to tell you about Doug. Doug's been a disciple for many, many years. Almost, I think, 30 years or in that range. Maybe more than 30. So Doug, I just occasionally text him to see how he's doing. I gave him a text this morning just to see how he's doing. Now, Doug is waiting for a kidney transplant. And he has to have dialysis 4 times a week. Incredibly painful. But let me just read you what he said just this morning. I just checking on him. And he goes, "Hey, my brother, thank you for asking. Loving life. Still doing my horrible treatments, but I'm in the good fight. Been going to the OG breakfast at David Jackson's house, sharing my faith, studying the Bible with Al Brown, calling to encourage people, trying to stay kingdom focused. I do miss everyone. Thanks for asking, my brother. Say hi to your beautiful wife, Carrie. Miss you guys. Been keeping in touch with Ken Chow. Can't wait to hear him speak coming up soon. Enjoy the service, Steve. I'll be watching on YouTube." That's our brother Doug Bundy. When you face challenges, ask yourself, who are you really with? Are you by yourself? Are you trying to solve the problems by yourself? It's not going to go well. Jesus understood, I'm with the Father, right? He said, I only do what he says. I follow him. I obey him. And when you're that way, joy comes into your heart and you're able to overcome the inevitable challenges that will befall you in this world. Amen? Amen. Well, what else do we learn from his passage here from John 5? He knows who he is. Not only does he know who he's with, He's able to stand his ground and deal with this conflict because he fundamentally knows who he is. And wow, when you read the passage in John 5, we won't have time to do a full exegesis of the stuff in there, but we're going to look at some key passages. It's amazing, right? Let's begin. In verse 21, it says, "Just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants to." The Father doesn't judge anyone, but he has made his Son the judge of everyone. The Father wants all people to honor the Son as much as they honor him. When anyone refuses to honor the Son, that is the same as refusing to honor the Father who sent him. So he was being accused of being equal with God, and he's like, yeah, I am. I mean, wow, he just said it right there. He's like, listen, the Father gives life. He's given me that. I give life as well. The Father is the judge, but he's not going to judge anyone. I will be the judge of all of mankind. Now, we read later different passages where he says, I have not come to judge you or condemn you, but to give you life, right? And we know that Jesus gives life. Jesus is our judge. See, he says it again a little further down. He says, the Father has the power to give life, and he has given that same power to the Son. And he has given his Son the right to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man reference comes from the book of Daniel, where there was a vision that Daniel had of the Son of Man, which was the Messiah, which was God. Daniel, 500 years earlier, had this vision. And he's referencing that right there. And all the Jewish leaders knew exactly what he was saying. He was standing and said, listen, he's the Son of Man. I'm the Son of Man. From Daniel, the one you know that's talking about the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, he's saying it right there. Anyone ever doubts that Jesus said it, he said it. And he wasn't afraid to say it because he knew who he was. Amen. He understood it. It's powerful. It's mind-blowing for each of us. And each of us needs to go on a journey to understand who we are, right? Jesus could say, hey, this is who I am. I stand on firm ground. I love the passage in Colossians about Jesus where it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Jesus knew who he really is. And yet, as individuals, we oftentimes are lost in our journey to find ourselves. Carrie and I went on a sabbatical last year. Thank you, church. It was a blessed time for us to do some soul searching and go on a journey about learning to slow down. And we read this incredible book called Wholeheartedness. And I know that some of the women here have read that book recently as well. And it's just about journeying to understand the true self. Stepping back and figuring out who really are we? What are our deepest values? What really is important? Are we with God or would we simply try to perform for God? A relationship with God is about being with him, not just doing things for him. Amen. Who you are is who God says you are. I think we all wonder, who am I really? You know, we all know we have different personalities and gifts, different qualities about us, and that's great. You're unique. You're special. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But if you want to know yourself, you have to see yourself from the eyes of God. Amen. Jesus saw himself from the eyes of God. He knew exactly who he was. He was secure so he could handle any opposition. If you're floating through life like on a boat with no rudder, you're drifting back and forth because you don't know your values, your standards, your mission, your purpose, and you don't really know your Lord, life's gonna throw curveballs at you that you won't be able to handle. But I'm here to tell you, God says some amazing things about you. Right, Erin said it in her little welcome. She's like, you're awesome. You're needed. You're valuable. Let's look at a few things that he said. But I want to read this one last verse before we look at that. Check this verse out. I tell you for certain, this is what Jesus says in the contemporary English version. Everyone who hears my message and has faith in the one who sent me has eternal life. Wow, not will have, has eternal life. And will never be condemned. They have already gone from death to life, right? Ephesians talks about how we've been living, you know, in our sins and transgressions mean we're living in death. But Jesus wants to pull us out of even our own things that wreck our own life, our choices. whether it's drug addiction, sex addiction, anger addiction, being perpetual liars, being self-consumed, being consumed with just gratifying your own, you know, pleasures. He wants to free you from that so you can have life that is truly life, right? He has these words. He knows who he is. We got to draw near to that. So who are you, church today? Who are you? Do you know who you are? Let's look at a couple thoughts on this, all right? A couple things from the scriptures. I didn't have all the references, but let me highlight a few for you. Do you know who you are? All of us from Genesis, it says, are image bearers of God. Whether you are called a Christian or you're in Christ or you think, hey, most of you are here today because you want to be in Christ. You probably wouldn't have gotten up on Sunday and come to church. But some of you are exploring it a little bit, and everybody in your workplace, every student on the campus, every person we see from every nation and every religion, they are image bearers of God. That's impressive. That means there's a value within them that God put. They have value so that they don't have to be defined by all the negative things that so easily enter into their mind. Now, there's a call forward to something new and something greater, and that's the new creation, right? Anyone who is in Christ, it says, is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. For me, that was October 15th, 1990. Right down in Manhattan Beach. I was down there, like seven people were down there. And there, you know, it was like 10 o'clock at night. And I remember saying, Jesus is Lord, and I'm giving up the old me. And you didn't really want to know the old me. Carrie never met the old me. She had little glimpses of him, but he's gone, right? He died. The old me died. Amen. Carrie came along in 1992 and got baptized on the same beach. And the new creation rose up out of that water. A new creation. That's what the scriptures say we are when we're in Christ. Amen. And then a little later in that verse, it says, and you get to be ambassadors. Yeah. Now, have any of you ever worked for the U.S. government? Any of you guys? Any of you actually been an ambassador to a foreign nation? Okay, okay. I want to talk to Amy. That's awesome. But, I mean, that's pretty cool, right? If you're an ambassador to a foreign nation from your country, I mean, that's a pretty impressive thing to be. The scriptures teach that you are an ambassador of the royal country, the ultimate country. When you are in Christ, you have this incredible privilege to reveal the value system of God, to be a representative of his kingdom and his nation to this lost and darkened world. That's a privilege. Every one of us has that as a mission in our life. You know, the scriptures talk over and over about how we get to be children of God. And I love my children a lot. And God loves us more than you have ever loved your kids. All right? As much as you've ever loved your kid. I'm a grandfather now. When I see that little guy, I mean, he's so cute. I love him so much. And I'm always mesmerized that God loves us way more than that feeling as a parent. As a parent, you understand what I'm saying. You just love him so much. And God exceeds that beyond measure for you. That's an amazing thought, right? We learn that as children, right? That means Jesus was the Son of God. That means you are a brother and sister to Jesus in some amazing way. He's the Lord, but he's also our brother and sister in Christ. Right? He was human just like us, and we're co-heirs of the glory going to be revealed to him. Maybe you grew up in a wealthy family. Maybe you grew up in a family that didn't have much wealth, and so you're not getting any inheritance, and that's okay because you get to be co-heirs with Christ, amen. Right? You're chosen people. Right, I was talking to our brother Everett, who played NFL. It's like, Everett, you get to be a first-round draft pick in God's kingdom. That first round, man. Number one pick. That's how people need to see their relationship with God. We read in Peter that you're a royal priest. Right? I never wanted to grow up being a religious guy. I never thought I'd be in the ministry at all. That wasn't my thing. But then all of a sudden when I found God, I'm like, wow, what an honor to be a royal priest. Amen. You're God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do the works. He created you as a masterpiece artist. And he has art for you to create. If you're an artist, he wants your art to be brought into eternity as it honors and reveals his glory. You're a masterpiece. And I love this one from Romans 8. We are more than conquerors. You will face trouble, Jesus said. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Who are you today? I hope that you'll want to be defined by Jesus and you think that way. Now, not everybody does, sadly. And in this passage, he realizes there are many that are studying the scriptures, but they're actually not with him. We read right there, it says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Wow, this is a convicting scripture because we are Church of Christ. You know, we're the West Side is tied into Church of Christ mindset. And there's different ways to relate to God. We heard this great lesson this past weekend at the Pepperdine Lectureships about the ways we relate to God. You know, some of us are head Christians, meaning we relate based on intellectual knowledge, right? And that would a little bit be Church of Christ. You know, we like to be intellectual here. We could be very head-focused, right? And so like these that studied the scriptures, they were head Christians. There's also heart Christians, right? There's hand Christians, you know, they like to do stuff and serve. The heart Christians are more, you know, there's a lot of empathy and heart and servitude and hospitality there. There's different types of ways. There's emotive Christians that they've got to have amazing worship songs, which our singers are great. That's how they relate to God, right? There's no other way. Some are just servants. They've got to serve, and that's the way they relate. There's lots of different ways that we connect. These guys were head Christians, and it wasn't working for them because they were studying the scriptures, but they were missing the message of Jesus. And it's a warning. And what I would like to say is, as you evaluate who you are and how you live your life, have some humility that maybe even your viewpoints about things need to be altered. We go through a cycle of, you know, simplicity, complexity, perplexity, and hopefully in your faith you end in harmony. But there are many things that are difficult to understand. Be open-minded to the tensions that God will bring as you begin to follow him. But never forget, our 2024 theme is focus on Jesus. Amen. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, he said. You refuse to come to me to have life. And he's here. Yes, we find him in the scriptures, but you know, he's actually here in his presence. It's very clear. Jesus is here on earth in spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is here. So who are you? You're called to be with God. You're called to be a child of God. Don't resist it, right? And he ends his challenge to these guys who wanted to kill him. He basically just challenges them right here. And he says, how can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? So this is a challenge for all of us. If you want to be with God, if you want to know who you are in Christ and really walk the walk, it's important that you're careful of who you're trying to please. And I would say, even in churches, it can be really easy for us to care way too much about what we all think of each other. Amen. I confess, I remember as a young, you know, when I first became a disciple, and the minister came up to me like a couple months in, and he goes, wow, you must be really, you know, you're feeling pretty confident about yourself. All those teens, I was helping the teen ministry at the time, and a lot of them getting baptized. And he goes, man, you must be feeling really great about yourself, all those people getting baptized. Like somehow I'm better than other people in the church. Now, at the time, I was coming out of a lifestyle where I stratified society based on how much money you made. Or how successful you were in the eyes of society. My value system hadn't shifted to sort of kingdom. I couldn't equate the idea that I'm better than you because I have more people get baptized. It didn't make sense. But as I became a Christian and lived in this world, we begin to have our new little monetary system of how spiritual you are, how many people you've influenced, how many people you've baptized. And that's equally unhealthy, right? Because it's not what we do, it's who we're with. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing those things, but the honor and glory goes to God. And we have to check our heart. If you're trying to please each other, if we're trying to please each other and we're all susceptible to it, it can take us down the wrong path. Challenges are coming on all of us, guys. Count on it. We're in a world of conflict, great difficulty, but we have a kind, loving, merciful, and infinite Lord who we get to be with, right? So what's the answer to life's challenges? The answer to life's challenges is know who you're with and know who you are. Jesus answered here in front of the guys against him, but then at the cross, he remained silent. He didn't need to state a thing. At that point, he's like, you know, I'm on the side of truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And my kingdom's from another place. And that's pretty much all he said. Today, you're going to face challenges. So evaluate, do you know who you're with? Are you really with the people of God? Are you walking with them? Do you allow them in your life? And are you with God himself, or are you simply performing for God? And number two, do a deep dive into who you are and realize that it's got to be how God defines it, not how you or our society can define it, which ends up being discouraging. But in Christ, man, it is good. It's the joy of our brother Doug Bundy. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer and thank him as we take communion at this time. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time to study your word. Father, we know many challenges are coming. They're here, and they're going to come upon us in the years to come. I know that is something we can all count on. But Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that we can be with him. We can choose him. We can rely on him. We can spend time with him. And we can know who we are based upon your definition of our identity, not our warped vision this world gives us. Thank you for his body given, and for his blood shed, and the hope that comes from these things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.